right. So welcome to Open Coaching for July 2019. So yeah, Michelle, you said you had a question.
Yes. You know, with people who are obese, they have more fat cells than ordinary people, because when they increase their weight, not only do the cells increase in size, but they also replicate it.
Yeah.
Now, when they lose the weight, the way in which they lose the weight, my understanding is that the cells shrink, but they don't decrease in number.
That's totally right.
Subsequently, these people are susceptible to always having hungry cells.
Always hungry, because they have to have really flattened out, empty fat cells in order to lose the weight. Yeah, it's, yeah.
So is there a way, you know, they have what's called cool sculpting that alleges that it, quote unquote, kills the excessive fat cells that have been whatever. Is there a natural way to decrease the number of fat cells so that these people aren't perpetually set up for failure?
It's called liposuction, and I don't recommend it. Yeah,
wow.
I know. It is. My understanding is most of the increase in the numbers of cells happens up until around the age of maturity, so 18 to 20.
Yeah.
And then after that, when you gain weight, you just plump up the existing fat cells and shrink them. So I always ask people, "What? How much did you weigh when you were 18? And the ones that say, "Oh, I was like 118. And I'm like, yes, okay, we got good hope here. And if they say, "Yeah, I was like 180, it's like, oh, we're going to struggle with that. Because so it's really, I think it's, it really, I don't think we add much unless it's massive weight gain after the age of maturity. I think we just expand and contract them. But it's like, if somebody's really overweight at the age of 18, they're most likely going to be struggling with the a great way to put it, hungry fat cells.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. What's this cool sculpting? I saw somebody at some place that was talking about it. Is it like a machine? Like, what do they do?
I'm not really sure how it works. I think they use some kind of freezing technology. And from what I understand, it's supposed to freeze the cells and cause them to die.
Apoptosis?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I is that where they wear bands? Like, certain, there's...
I have no clue. I was just looking at the ad, you know, and I was wondering if there, it just triggered in me this connection. And that, yes, people are always be compliant, say, "I'm always hungry." It's not necessarily that they're doing something wrong or they're nutritionally deficient or anything like that, but rather that they just have more cells than, say, I do. And so they're constantly going to be battling with these cells that are like, feed me.
Exactly. And that's why I usually ask, like, how much did you weigh when you were around 18, 20?
Mm-hmm.
Because that makes a huge difference. Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's one of those things where, right? Because if you've got these fat cells that are supposed to be this big, and the only way that you can get down to a normal weight is for them to be this big, those cells are just naturally going to be going, you know, I don't have enough store here. I don't have what I need. And those people will be hungry. And, you know, we got to work with them emotionally. Look at ways to decrease ghrelin and increase leptin. But then you run the risk of leptin resistance. It can be challenging.
So,
I wish there was an easy answer.
That's not, well, it emphasizes the importance of what I feel is neglect in terms of parents who allow their children to get like this big, you know, and I always come back to my case with my daughter, how they were claiming that I was neglectful, but it was under their care that she blew up to 108 something pounds. And, you know, when she lost that weight and then she started gaining it back and they wanted to blame me for that process, the reality is that they're the ones who created those fat cells, that no matter what for the rest of her life.
Well, that's not true though, right? Because she was under 18. And before the age of 18, you will lose the fat cells when you lose the weight. It's the fat cells that are accumulated after you're 18.
You see, so if you lose weight before 18, the actual cells will...
You will lose the cells, yes.
There's really?
Something, yep, that's my understanding. That's what I've read. And that's why don't
I read
let
otherwise.
Your kid, huh?
The research that I had done was otherwise, saying that if you that replicate our cells during those growth spurts. And once you create those cells, they're just there. You know, so that's why, you know, you have people who are bigger because they got bigger during certain growth spurts. They're mm-hmm. not going to reverse their bigness.
Yeah, I've got to look back into that, see if I can find where I found that, that I understood that before the age of 18, when you lost the weight, that your cells, you would just naturally lose some of those fat cells. But after, you know, whatever it was, 18 or maturity or whatever.
If that is true, then we would need to do the research into what it is that changes when you're 18 that no longer facilitates the apoptosis that would allow those cells to just shrivel away and die. Is there some kind of...
And I don't know. I wonder if it has something to do with growth hormone, perhaps, or something that, you know, because there's something that signals the body at that age range to just stop, because otherwise we'd keep going, right? We'd be have a society of gargantuans. But at some point, we're no longer triggering skeletal growth. So what is it that stimulates that skeletal growth that may also be involved?
Well, I'm thinking not so much about the skeletal growth, but what is it that triggers the apoptosis that is no longer being triggered after 18?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It might be something similar to whatever is the signal in the body that this person's reached maturity, don't keep growing the bones. Might be the same signal. I'm saying this person's reached maturity.
Because I wonder,
my understanding that after 18, you no longer add cells. You no longer add cells when you gain weight. You just, you just plump up the ones you have.
Well, yeah, I know that you don't add cells.
Yeah.
But my question is, the cells that you have.
Yeah.
Once you have them, you have them. They don't go away.
They don't go away. Yeah. Yeah. It's worth looking into because it's been years since I've looked at that. But I know that based on that, I would always ask people, let me just see.
So for instance, even when we talk about quote unquote cancer cells, now granted they're abnormal and we talk about being able to destroy cancer cells, is there a process that we could apply to fat cells? Because I just keep thinking about all these people that I work with, and it's like, you know,
I love where you're going, Michelle. I love this.
But I'm it's like a doomsday sentence.
Right. Yeah, it's like a sentence. Yeah. Like, don't, you know, and it's don't let your kids get overweight when they're kids. It's really where you came back to. Like,
and if that is true, then if we could, how do we stress the importance of this? Because nobody's even talking about that with these children, that this is a daggone lifetime sentence.
Yep. Yep.
It's like making someone alcoholic for the rest of their lives.
Yep.
So even if they lose the weight, they're always going to be set up for
failure, for gaining it back, for constantly
going
having
right back down that track.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No matter what they do, they're not going to have the same benefit that I have. So they can have even more strict guidelines. They could be doing everything perfectly, but I'm going to have an easier time at it because
right.
I never did.
And we see that, right? We see the people who are there and they're like, I'm fine. Okay, you told me what to eat. It's good for me. This is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do it. And then the other's like, no, I need my chocolate chip cookies. I'm hungry all the time.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So it's not just about the ghrelin and the leptin and all of that. It's about the fact that they have all of these extra fat cells.
Well, I wonder,
where does genetics come in on this?
Or how about the microbiome? You know, people have been able to cure obesity, not cure, but really improve it with fecal transplants.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Well, that's about shrinking the fat cells.
But it is about shrinking the fat cells, right?
So if the cells are still bigger.
Yeah, obese. And I believe that there's something about that 18 in skeletal maturity. If they're still fat at the age of 18, they're going to struggle with this for the rest of their life. Right. But if they're not, then they're not going to have an issue because after 18, they're going to grow.
But what if they got fat at say 16 and they lose the weight?
Yeah.
Will losing the weight before they turn 18, will it just still be that they have these fat cells, or will they actually lose the fat cells if they lose the fat before?
Yeah, it's a great question. And my understanding from, you know, years ago doing research on this was that that after the maturity, skeletal maturity, whatever age that is, right around 18, that they would no longer lose the fat cells, but up until then they would. You know, kind of like
so now we have to figure out what is it.
Yeah, that's right.
If that's true,
what is it that triggers it? Yeah. Fat cell apoptosis, would that be a good Google search term, you know?
I mean, yeah, that's what they call it.
Yeah.
Because the reason why I came up with all of this, because I saw, you know, they always send you stupid emails about, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And so that's when they were like, yeah, do you realize that those fat cells never go away? And I was like, yeah, I do remember that. And then it never really connected in my mind, like, oh my God, this is like a freaking hex thing for life. And then so they were talking about the cool sculpting about how it can trigger apoptosis and kill the fat cells once and for all.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, is there a way to target fat cells and allow them to go poof?
It's saying, you know, it'd be lovely if there was a natural way, but you thinking about it, it's just it's an abnormal approach,
like,
right? We're going
like
in
triggering cancer.
Right. And we don't want to trigger apoptosis in good, healthy cells. So how do you do that trigger in a natural way that's just going to target excess fat cells? Yeah. I don't know of any herbs. I don't, you know, I there's something, I don't know what this cool sculpt is, if it's those bands or something they wear, but they claim that it's natural.
It's some kind of freezing process, supposedly.
And is it targeted to a specific part of the body, or is it?
Yeah, because they use it, and it's like a wand or something like that. They use over a certain part of the body.
I like this part of my body. I'm going to get rid of it.
So you target the abdominal fat and stuff like that.
It still won't take care of the visceral fat, but.
So, yeah, I was just curious about that. Oh, well.
Yeah, it's worth doing some research on. If you find anything, let me know. If I find anything, I'll let you know. I'll post it. I'll do a clinical pearl.
Well, it came because I was I'm writing another book. Since I finished publishing my first one, now I'm working on my second one.
So and you got it published?
Yeah.
You published it? I didn't know.
Yes, on Amazon.
Yeah. All right. What's the name of it?
It's called Mommy. Birthing the Goddess Within for Our Children's Sake.
Nice.
Wow.
When did it come out?
It came out about a month and a half ago.
And you didn't announce it to everybody.
Oh, I've been so crazy with all kinds of stuff. It's just, I mean, I'm trying to sell a house, get an RV, all kinds of craziness going on in my world. But yeah, so I was in this new book. It's called Creating a Happier, Healthier You. What I'm working with is this whole principle of creating new pathways, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. And the thing is that physically, it's in creating a new pathway, the reality and mentally, emotionally, all of these things, the reality is that the old pathway is always there. So it's not about destroying the old pathway or getting rid of it.
You have to make a stronger pathway that over kind of
create a new pathway that is so strong that you're no longer pulled in the direction of the old pathway. So, I mean, it's the same thing with beliefs. Those beliefs, they'll always be there. There'll always be these limiting beliefs that go through your sphere of awareness. Now, do you have the ability to shift your attention and maintain your focus on the countering belief or the wholesome mm-hmm. belief? So with the fat thing, those fat cells will always be there from yeah. what we're discussing. So now how do we create a new pathway that is so strong that it allows the individual to ignore the old pathway?
Yeah, and I think I'm going to just go back to where I'm a really strong believer in is focusing on your values and what you want. Because, okay, I'm hungry. I'm starving. I don't really need to eat. And what I really want is to have more energy. You know what I mean? It's like coming, just keep coming back to that strength and conviction of your big why, really. Mm-hmm. That's my opinion. And that's the only way to ignore stuff like that. Sure, I get hungry when I'm decided I'm going to do a 18-hour fast or a 3-day fast. You mm-hmm. think I'm not hungry? Of course I'm hungry. But I've made a decision and a commitment, and that allows me to ignore the hunger in light of my higher purpose, my higher vision and goal. And so many people don't have that ability, right? And that's why I start everybody off with their values and their visions and their goals and all that, because if they don't get all that, then they'll never be able to make good decisions, because every time something attractive comes along, like the whole don't exchange what you want in the moment, or what you want the most for what you want in the moment, we're all going to have wants in the moment. Boy, that guy looks really cool. Boy, I bet he'd be a good bed partner. But you know what? I'm not willing to give up a 33-year marriage to find that out.
Yeah.
So he's cute. He's okay. Move on. Right. Well, we have that ability, but think about it. We all have that ability to exercise that muscle when it's like everybody else is doing cocaine at the party, but you've created this bucket around cocaine. It's like, I never do cocaine, but you may not have created that bucket around the chocolate chip cookie. And so you go, oh, just once. You wouldn't do that with cocaine. Oh, just this once, because everybody's doing it. So we have the ability to do that. And I think it's really retraining the mind and the brain and the whole psyche into being able to do what we know how to do here, you know, to what we know, what we think we don't know how to do over here.
Michelle, have you done any following with Dr. Joe Dispenza? Because he's done tremendous work in research, thousands and thousands of people with the neurotransmitters and the pruning of those, and how you don't ever get rid of it. Like you said, it's always there. But when you reduce the attraction, the strength is reduced and it prunes away when you increase the attraction on another area. Mm-hmm. Same thing that you're talking about, but you might get an idea from mm-hmm. some of his, he has a lot of YouTube things mm-hmm. that are pretty quick to listen to, but he goes in really pretty deep, lots of about 20 years of research and tons of evidence for how that process really works. So kind of goes right along with what you're talking about.
And one of the things that I'm stressing is, rather than having the verbiage and the paradigm of fighting that is so prevalent in our culture, mm-hmm. the theme that I'm stressing in my book is to become aware, acknowledge, accept, and appreciate. Mm-hmm. So instead of fighting the fat cells or fighting all of these different quote-unquote enemies, as right. we label them, to actually embrace it. Because when you embrace, that is when it loses its power over you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that. And I think that that's an important concept. And I think you asked to start, is there any natural approach? I think the natural approach isn't on the physical or biochemical realm. It really is on the psycho-spiritual emotional realm, where it's making friends with that and making a more powerful thing to overcome it. And it does, quite frankly, I think those are harder for people mm-hmm. than the physiologic, yeah. right? Because yeah. just, but when we can work with people on that level and really mm-hmm. get that it's not just about what to eat. Somebody wrote in on one of the calls. You saw that probably earlier, Angelica. What should I take to resolve all my reds and oranges on the gland test? Okay. And I'm like, what should you take? Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. No, it doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't work that way. We wish yeah. that we had something we could take to burst yeah. those extra fat cells or to erase that.
Yeah.
The emotional eating tendency. Like every time I get upset, I think of chocolate. I mean, yeah. seriously, that's what happens to me. Every time something frustrating happens, chocolate is what I mm-hmm. think about. Mm-hmm. Like, what's the chocolate going to do? Right? But that's where my pattern, my little pathway goes to. And so I have to stop and go, yeah, right. Chocolate's really going to help right now, isn't it? Right? I have to work through that other piece of it and the rationalization of just eat the chocolate and everything will be fine. Like, yeah, seriously, that ever helped you get the work done before? It didn't, right? But that's, yeah. So I think what it really, really reinforces too is what you do naturally and a lot of us do now is to incorporate, it's more than just what to eat, what not to eat, and what supplements to take and what labs to get. That there's so much deeper than that, you know?
For anyone who's interested, I put a link in the chat that goes to the promo page that has the book trailer. So you can see the book trailer and see, what's in the book.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Looking, birthing the goddess. Mm-hmm. Oh, mommy, birthing the goddess within. Yeah, good. It's a children's book?
Oh, no.
Oh, I thought I saw the word children's in the Amazon thing.
Oh, no. Well, for our children's sake.
But oh, for it's children's sake, yes.
Not a children's book. It's definitely an adult book.
Okay. Yeah, we definitely have to do it for children's sake. Because, you know, the things that people do to their children, most not maliciously, mm-hmm. but just from ignorance, mm-hmm. it's really sad. And I think we need to educate those. Like people, when we talk in some of the groups, they'll go, why did our parents tell us this? Why? Mm-hmm. Because they didn't know, yeah. right? They didn't know better. Yeah. And had mm-hmm. they known, maybe they would have, maybe they wouldn't have, because they're living on how they grew up and the wounds and the traumas that they had growing up. Mm-hmm. And we're all kind of subject to that. But
yeah,
interesting stuff. Good. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yay. Brandon says your book sounds beautiful. Yay. What's the saying? Right. If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. Well, in living in our world, God, it's every day I'm just getting more and more outraged by, no, I got to speak up. You know, I used to be very timid about speaking up about my opinion when I see these travesties happening. And, you know, and it's like, I can't be quiet anymore. I can't be quiet anymore. We've got to change this for our kids' sake, for our planet's sake.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, our silence is basically compliance, you know, as a people. So that's not all right.
Not okay. It's so, not okay.
Good. You're speaking up, Michelle, about these fat yeah. cells. And I hope you find the cure.
That's the thing that the.
I don't know.
It's not about a cure. It's about an evolution, a birthing.
I agree.
Awareness. It's about an awareness that you're seeking.
And it's a rebirthing. When you say birthing, it makes me think it's a rebirthing of yourself.
Exactly.
Right?
Because over and over again, you're constantly birthing a new you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or we're encouraged to birth new uses. Some of us want to stay in the womb and just, you know, but the thing is, when you stay in the womb, you start to actually rot. You know, any child that is
staying
long, then they start to regress and, you know, people don't realize.
Yeah.
Nature wants you to issue forth.
Got
to
do it. You can't stay in the cocoon all the time. And like, what call was I saying this on just in the last couple of days is like, most of what you want is outside the comfort zone. We were talking about it being hard, and I'm like, sure, if you've ever given birth, you know it's hard. It's not an easy process to get this baby out of this little hole. Ain't gonna work, you know. And then the college is hard. We didn't quit. You know, the first time this baby started kicking and causing nausea and felt miserable, you go, okay, done. I'm not gonna have this baby. You know, you just don't do that, right? And with college, similarly, although you can drop out and some people do, but most of us have been through it and you go, oh my God, I just don't want to do this. It's so hard. It's so hard. But the end result, for the most part, is worth it. And that's where the rebirthing comes in. Okay, what's this new thing of me that wants to come out and be in the world and not be so locked inside of me? I had one point in my life, probably not that long ago, maybe 8 or 10 years, where I had gotten some kind of congestion in my throat. And it was like, for 2 months, I just like this, I this hoarseness, and it was something here. And a friend of mine does iridology, and she's looking and she says, what is it that you're not saying? And I'm like, oh. I said, well, when I sit with patients, I feel like I need to be really powerful about this, but I'm afraid. And I kind of hold back. And, you know, so I realized that I wasn't speaking my truth. And it was all just locked there. And I decided at that point that I was going to start speaking my truth. And it within a couple of weeks, the hoarseness in my throat went away. Yeah.
And that's pretty much what I had to do. I just had to, and you probably know this, that I shut down everything else. I stopped all of my other activities and I just went full stream. I wrote the book in 3 weeks. And got it published in another month, you know, because I just knew that I had to do it in that moment.
Yeah, you were called for it. Yeah, we have to, sometimes we have to just really listen. That's what we were talking about on one of the calls today, is that intuition, right? And sometimes the intuition, we were talking about it related to herbs. You're walking in the garden and suddenly this plant is like, pick me, right? You know, like, what is this for? No, and following that intuition. And sometimes we get that with a project or whatever. And you got to be careful about the changing directions and going here and there, because that kind of is called ADD and, you know, not getting anything done. But it's really when you can sit with it and go, wait, I'm being called to this. Is this in my highest and best? Is this what I really need to do? And if it's really, the answer is yes, then you do what you have to do there. You do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Good discussion out of fat cell apoptosis. Yeah. Cool. Who else? Any questions, comments, anything you guys want to
I have a question.
Sure.
I'm doing the maintenance program for Rich for his detox program. Mm-hmm. And I've just about got it all finished up, and I'll send you a copy too, which is mostly a summation of what he's done. But I wanted to put in there, because he is so reliable and so level-headed with what he does, that he could do this and probably should continue to do this at least once a year, if not more, until he retires and gets out of that work environment.
Totally, if not more. Yeah, and just see how comfortable or uncomfortable it was for him. He didn't lose weight through it, which is good, because that would have been a concern for him. And I would suggest that for sure, because it's like 3 more years he's going to be in that toxic environment.
Yeah. Yeah. And he just, he doesn't want to find another way out, because 3 years and he's full retirement.
Well, if you have full retirement and you've been with somebody for that long, and you can't walk away. I mean, I can see where he couldn't.
No. So, but I wanted to make sure that was all right to say, because, you know, I use your disclaimer, it's your liability, but he is so competent that I know that he would be aware. And I will offer to him, if he has a problem, to get back in touch with us, even if he's not in the program. But the last conversation we had in our journal was, he was asking about signing up for the ERC program again. Good. So
yeah, we all should have that out any day. I'm making progress on it. Very sleep deprived this week. I got as far as doing what I did today for the sweet spot folks, but now I have to do that for the chart. I've got the pricing and Scott.
No, they're fine. They're just asking, and I told them that it was coming. And
we're a little later than I think. I looked last year and it was May when we were offering the comeback thing. So it is a little late.
They're okay.
But I'm going to get Scott. He did the order forms for, because I was offering it to Sweet Spot. He did all that, and he just has to get those same things done for the Elite, the comeback ones, and we should be able to get those. My goal is tomorrow, tonight, to get it finished, because I got the pricing all down. It's pretty much the same as last year, with the exception that the extra early sign up for Silver was ridiculously, it was a lot less than half price, and it was $1,500, and I'm like, I can't do that. It just can't. With all the bonuses that we did, it was like we were at a break even for, So it's going to be 19. So
still they won't be surprised. You know, that's just how everything goes.
But in the gold and the, I was able to keep the gold and the other one very similar. So I just tried to even out the numbers. So, you know, if anybody that came, that joins, that came, started as a silver last year, they're going to get gold for the same price as they paid for the silver last year, which is a good screaming deal. It's, again, it's a loss leader because I got to pay coaches and everything else.
But the silvers aren't so bad. That works out pretty good.
Yeah.
Michelle, I see you have your screen off, but I just wanted to give you a big hug. I haven't seen you so long, and I wanted to tell you about the group. You would not believe Hana Aura. That gal is sitting up paying attention and asking lots of questions, actually starting to complain a little bit because she wants more. I'm really hoping that she'll come back again.
Wow.
And Karen is...
Karen is like night and day.
Can you believe it? I'm telling you. That girl has just turned around. And as much, she had to have foot surgery from her car accident, whatever, but she's been in this care center for about, I don't know, 6 weeks now, and has about that much more to go. I think it's been the best thing ever because I think she was too isolated. Yeah. And now she's with all these people. She doesn't like a lot of them, of course, but she's busy with things outside of her.
Yeah.
How much of this and how much of that, and should it be this or that? And, you know, the immense and number and length of emails, but she has just totally turned around too. So
she was on the call today. She was on the call today, and she said, "I've turned my rehab room into a little kitchen." She goes, "I refuse to touch any of their food," and she makes all her own food in there. And it turned out they said it would take her, they said, 6 weeks to get to 30% mobility, and she got there in 2 weeks. And at the 6 week mark, she's complete, or 90, whatever, huge amount. She said they've never seen anybody heal that fast.
Yeah. She has deliveries of vegetables come every 3 days to her room. She orders out all this stuff from, I don't know where, these grocery stores or whatever, and brings it to her room.
Yeah.
She's sitting in a little sink in the bathroom. Takes her all day to do everything, but what else has she got to do?
What else is she going
to
do?
Yeah.
It's very cool to see. Yeah. Thanks for that update.
I just thought you would want to know because
you
started out and struggled.
The universe conspires in our favor, even when we think it's the contrary.
Yeah.
Although we're making big impacts with these folks, you know, that we make bigger impact than we think. And it's slow. I mean, it's slow. Like Karen, how many coaches did she go through that first year? And all she did was complain? Three? Yeah.
And I asked to have a warning label put on her information. I will take that back now.
It's funny because she, her first coach was Lisa, and we all know how detailed and smart and everything Lisa is. And Lisa was meeting with her and reading her lab and telling her all this stuff. And she was that, and Lisa never gets back to me, and she never this. And I'm like, but I see all these detailed things. And anyway, it's like night and day. She was laughing, and it was amazing. It was just such a great deal. And that's what really keeps me going on a lot of this stuff, is to just see that we're making a major transformation in these people's lives.
Yeah. So we've missed you a lot, but we're so glad that, in fact, I'm going to tell them about your book on the call next Wednesday.
Yeah.
That they can see what you've been up to, because you told them, you know, that you had something calling you, you had to do, and they understood, they were good with it.
Yeah,
great.
But it wasn't a rejection of them. It was just something that
no,
you know, was pushing me in that direction. And it's like, if I don't do it now, it's not going to get done. You know how that goes.
I know. I know. Congratulations. I am so happy for you. That's great. Go for you.
Awesome. Anybody else have questions? I saw you posted something on the NEPT thing, Angela. I don't know, Angelica. It was something about...
It was my adrenal assessment because I've been in a sweet spot. And I was just wondering, yeah, because I remember when I was at your house and I told you my issues and you're like, you should take a Dutch Complete. I haven't ordered that yet, but I was wondering, since I haven't done blood work for a while, would it... I'm trying to get as much information as possible because I know whenever we come to case studies, we need all the information we can. Would it be beneficial for me to get a blood test first and kind of look and see if there's anything suspicious there or?
I'm leaning towards the Dutch being the appropriate. I mean, if you had the, and if the funds were okay to do both, I'd say do both.
Right.
And you can certainly do it that way because it's more of a, of a generic systematic pathway.
Mm-hmm.
But based on some of the stuff and based on that evaluation, your cortisol, your high cortisol was like in the red, right?
It was pretty, yeah, gosh, I think, yeah. It was 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No wonder. I mean, it was good confirmation, yeah. You know?
I mean, so it can go either way, right? I mean, it doesn't hurt to get it. I mean, you could just get the basic test, but then if you just get the basic, then... You know, you'd want to see, I'd want to see if there's some systemic inflammation that could be causing it because it could be a mental, emotional stress. We were saying earlier, it could be a infectious stress and it could be, you know, gut dysbiosis type stress.
Right.
So, and I know you've had gut problems.
Yeah, they've gotten a lot better though, since right. I started implementing, you know, our basic foundational digestive things. Enzymes helped tremendously, and also just stopping certain things. Like I used to eat huge salads and now I've pared that down quite a bit because it would just make my tummy go crazy. So,
cause I'm trying to think what would show in there. You're young enough that you're not gonna, I don't know. I'm trying to think what would show in the blood test versus in the, actionable stuff. What actionable stuff would show in the blood test versus the Dutch test? You know?
True. That's true. I guess I was more after the vitamin D presentation this week. I was really inspired. I'm like,
definitely need to do vitamin D.
Right. Well, so last time I got my blood work done, I remember I was low according to the naturopath I was seeing at the time, who turned out to be almost useless. Like, but yeah. So anyway, so that just inspired me. Maybe I should get, you know, my blood work up and just check and see where I am. Because also if I implement things, I know from our calls that when we tell people to implement things, like if they have some nutrient deficiencies or some, then it won't work, you know?
Yeah. So one of the things you could do is you could do the basic blood work with vitamin D. I would add vitamin D. I mean, in your gut issues, is there a constipation component?
No, not anymore. Ever since I started taking enzymes and also just eating simpler food, for me, simple
but there
for me.
Was, there was a constipation. I'm just trying to think about thyroid, you know, thyroid issues, right?
Yeah.
But what would we get from the standard blood test that would give us actionable stuff?
Well, it was mostly just because I was concerned about like deficiencies, like vitamin D and.
Well, D for sure. I would definitely get a D.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell kind of indirectly if zinc is an issue, and zinc's important for adrenals and thyroid and everything else from the alkaline phosphatase. We can tell immune system if there's something your body's fighting off, if the neutrophil lymphocyte ratios are off. You can tell if there's an anemia problem, which would mean oxygenation to the cells, which might cause some sluggishness. So there's a lot you could get out of it.
Okay.
And you could do that. Here's one thing you could do. You could get that, including the vitamin D. And you can do, just really go through, you know, the gut stuff you're already doing, but looking at some of the adrenal, if it's high adrenal, The thing about the Dutch is it's going to show you your pattern. It's going to show your metabolites and how you're breaking it down. Like, do you have high levels of cortisol at a certain time of day and low levels at another day, in which right. you would address it in a certain way. Sometimes, and I can usually ask enough questions to get at that, like, how do you feel in the morning when you first get up? You jump out of bed, or you're feeling like, eh, you know, I need to, you know, yeah, not good.
I feel like death.
At what point do you have the most energy throughout the day? Hmm. And then you have trouble sleeping, right? So my guess is you got really low cortisol in the morning. And then as it's coming up, maybe it's really low, or maybe it's moderately low, and then it goes just a pattern. If you don't have a peak during the day when you feel energized, it's that evening when maybe you don't feel energized, but it's the wired feeling, right? So that could be, the Dutch test would tell us based on those rhythms, if the sleep issues are related to cortisol or not, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
Well, and it was my menstruation. I haven't menstruated since January. And that's what triggered you. I remember you were like, oh, you should get a Dutch.
That's right. You said that. Yeah. Now, but it could be an iron deficiency, because iron deficiency will either cause excessive menstrual bleeding, but it can also be cause scant menstrual bleeding.
Could be.
And it would cause low energy.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. I've been definitely keeping vegan since January, or before that even. I mean, so it could be that I'm not getting enough iron in spite of eating a lot of leafy greens. Like,
well, it's an absorption thing. And then it goes back to stomach acid, which the blood test will give us some indication, the BUN and the creatinine. Is there some indication of? Now, the other thing is, if you don't, sometimes what I'll say to people is, look, we don't have to get the baseline. We won't know if we corrected things, but here are the things that I would do. If we're suspicious about D, just take a moderate amount of D. Don't take too much, because you don't want to throw yourself into excess. But, you know, get on 5,000 a day. Okay. Just be, you know, get that there. You could say, well, zinc, I'm going to take a liquid zinc and bitters to stimulate HCL so that I'm digesting better. If you're mineral deficiencies will clear. Our NeuroBlack Yellow Doc, as long as you don't take too much, it's not like taking iron where it's going to shoot your iron way up through the roof, but it can definitely raise your iron. And one of the mechanisms it does that by is by clearing out the liver, but also helping to induce more stomach acid and mineral absorption.
Okay.
So those are some things that I could think of off the top of my head without a full, you know, case history kind of thing.
Right.
And you can do that and say, I'm going to do this for 3 months. I'm going to focus on my freedom pillars, you know, all that stuff and the sleep and the stress and the whole bit. Continue with the enzymes, probiotics, pay attention to the gut, eat, you know, the way that your body's telling you to. And then at 3 months, you can say, how do I feel? Take the assessments again, see if the numbers have shifted. And then you can then decide whether you're going to take a test or not. I'm going to just admit that as much as I talk about testing, the last time I had any kind of testing done, whether it be, well, the last time I had an adrenal test was the only time I had an adrenal test. And that was in probably 2005. The last time I had a blood test done, other than getting drawn for life insurance, but it was scant and minimal, was probably 2007. Or 8.
Wow.
I've never had a stool. No, I had a stool test. I think I had a stool test back in the 90s. And I had a bunch of tests when I was first going through school. And they give you, you know, discounts and stuff when you go to their classes. But I've literally not. And I paid Alan Hopkins for his complete panel back in whenever he was first offering it, October maybe. And I still haven't done it. Yeah, so I have to run it.
Complete blood panel.
Yeah, it was like his $1,200 one, you know, with everything, because I wanted to see what it was like.
Yeah.
I got it for me and Scott. But
that would be cool if you took that to a case study and you showed us your results. That would be awesome.
Part of me is like, oh, what if it's not good?
Well, hey.
I think I'm doing well and I feel great, but there's some imbalances.
Then we're all going to have our input and we're going to coach you.
And I keep saying also, I'm going to wait until I do like 2 weeks of good sleep, you know, so I can get my adrenals normalized. And,
yeah, but that's not realistic. You don't sleep.
So that's been my thing, right? So I haven't done any of that stuff on myself. I just go by subjective and intuitive and how I feel and all that. And sure, I could have major imbalances. You know, who knows? My estrogen might be zero. I don't know.
Right. Okay. So also Lynn and Michelle have both mentioned hydrochloric acid status. So would that come from a basic blood?
You can do an HCL challenge. That's one way to see. That's in the digestive stuff. You can do in the blood, you can look at BUN and creatinine, and there's a few other markers that would be off, and it's just ratios. And it's, we all, if you are you in that module yet? Did you get up to module, what is it, 5 with the
blood? No, I'm in module 3, I think.
Okay, maybe it's 5. I think it might be 5. You may want to, once you get into micronutrients, ask to be skipped into the next one, because that one could take 6 months to go through, and meanwhile you can keep moving along because it's okay. Very long, you know.
Okay, module 5. Okay,
I think it's 5. I don't remember, but it's the blood chemistry, basic blood chemistry.
Great. Okay. Well, I'll make it a goal to get a little bit farther in there.
Yeah, and in there, there's this whole section on I didn't break it down like here's this section of your lab, here's that. I broke it down functionally. So we talk about the CBC in terms of anemia, and we talk about it in terms of immune system, and then break that down. And then in terms of the rest of it, what are the markers of digestive that could indicate digestive? What are the nutrient imbalance things? So it's not like sections of the test that I go through, but I kind of go through functionally, which is how I want us to.
Great. Yeah. Great. That'd be awesome. Okay.
Cool.
If no one else has a question, I have a Dutch test that I'd like you to look at real quick. Maybe Lynn can help me figure out. It's on my desktop, Lynn. I don't know how to share the screen for it.
Is it your
time and hit the little box?
My granddaughter's. I gave it to her for her graduation from college present, and I wanted her to do labs.
Grandma, is that what she wanted?
Actually, she did, because she worked too hard in college, and she's. When I saw the results, I thought, "Oh my God, poor baby, we've got to do something." So
the way you would share it, if it's on your desktop, double click it so it opens on your screen. That's the first step.
Okay, it's here.
Step 2 is you see the bottom of the bottom of the Zoom box. It says share, and there's a green box that looks like a gift box. It has a little thing at the top.
The bottom of that screen is covered up.
Oh.
So take your cursor and hover it down. Just slide it down to the bottom of your screen, and this box should pop up that has mute, stop video, participants, share, chat.
It's the same spot where you'll see leave meeting as an option.
I got to move my screen. Just a minute. I should have been playing with this a bit ago. I just wasn't sure how to do it. Okay, here we go. Now it went away.
If you hover your mouse over it, sometimes it does. Sometimes it's like a mobile bar.
Okay, does
that goes in the pool when you go on a vacation, the mobile bar.
Okay, now that's up. Dutch test. Click.
Hi, Michelle.
Okay.
You got it?
Here we go. There's share.
It's share, and then it just says screen.
Hi, Michelle.
There you go.
Now you got to make it bigger.
Bigger.
That's not what we wanted to do.
Just hit, if there's a box in the corner that's the make it bigger box. There's a box that's either a box or two boxes together.
My old Mac quit, and I have a brand new Pro Air, and I don't know how to use it.
It's getting bigger. There you go. I don't either, because I've never used a Mac.
That's about as far as I can
go. Well, there you go. That's good. Okay. So LMP, let me see. 19. Wait. I want to see that because I want to know. So the collection time was the 518, and she just, okay, so 518. And it doesn't say when her last menstrual period was. Okay. Okay. So if we stop on this first page, holy cow, how old is she? She's 18, 29.
She just turned 20. She's 20.
Oh my God. She has the hormones of a 65-year-old.
I know. And she's working in Alaska on the fishing docks, and she's serving right now, and she has to get up at 3:30 in the morning to be four to do the breakfast. She gets home at 7 at night, and I'm really worried about her. When I looked at this test, I thought, oh,
she's so depleted.
She is. Let me show you a little bit more.
Not sleeping at night, probably.
Oh,
see that? Go back up. Go back up, because I want to make sure everybody's clear when I just pop things off the top of my head and you're going, huh? Okay, so first of all, go to the top again of the first page.
Okay.
Okay, see these dials. She's a premenopausal woman. She's a very premenopausal woman because she's 20 years old. This dial should be up, you know, in this almost, you know, this last quartile. That's what I would expect in a 20-year-old. Same thing with progesterone. She's estrogen dominant. See, the estrogen is higher than the progesterone. This purple is postmenopausal. We wouldn't expect to see a 20-year-old in a postmenopausal place, right? Yeah. And progesterone's even worse. It's actually below the postmenopausal. And her testosterone is bottom of the barrel. She probably has no sex drive. She might have some wonky periods. She might have, luteal phase defects. If she tried to get pregnant, she might actually find that she can't, because she doesn't have enough progesterone to maintain her lining. Mm-hmm. And then if you look here at the cortisol, her free cortisol is down well below the range, and her metabolized. So she's not making any cortisol. She's missing that whole set of steroid hormones. They're all depleted. Every single one of them is depleted. Right? If you look at her cortisol on the chart, waking is well below the bottom. See high end, low end. You're not seeing my screen, but high end, low end. And then she's the red one at the bottom. She's almost flatlined, except right at the afternoon, she starts going up, and then she goes way high at night. So she probably has trouble sleeping. If she's working shift work, that might account for this.
Oh, but she doesn't have trouble sleeping. She's exhausted when she gets home, barely can eat, falls in bed asleep.
Okay. Yeah. Well, this is a flat line pretty much as far as I'm concerned. She is bottomed out on all her steroid hormones. Okay, keep going. Let's see. I usually skip page two because it's just the numbers, and I
know it's easier to look at the dials and read all those because you can measure better.
Her DHEA is low. Her testosterone is low. All of this is low. Now we want to look at her. She has a tendency towards 5-alpha reductase. Probably has a zinc deficiency, might have a GLA deficiency, because that's what can contribute to a 5-alpha preference. So I would be looking at those as possible things to be making sure that she gets done with. She's estrogen dominant. Her estrogen's higher than her progesterone and higher than her, not higher than her testosterone, but higher. And it's not a good pattern. She's got high estrone, E1, which is almost to the perimenopausal, premenopausal. Her estradiol is lower and her estriol is all the way low. We want that the total of estrone E1 and estradiol E2 is equal to or less than estriol. She's 12.87, so she's over 6 times the amount, which means she's dominant in the more dangerous proliferative versus the protective estrogen, right? So the protective estriol, you know, that should be the big bulk of it. And these two are the ones that are, if there is a risk of endometrial cancer, breast cancer, on this particular case, those levels are very low. So it's unlikely. She's estrogen dominant, but with very low estrogen. So the good news is she's very low estrogen. The bad news is she's estrogen dominant and the ratio's off.
So that's what shows in this box, in this dial down here.
Well, this is different because here we're looking at E1, E2, E3, the ratios. Down here we're looking at the metabolites, the 4-hydroxy, 16-hydroxy, and 2.
Right.
2 is the green, and 2, the green, is more of the protective metabolite. This is what happens in the liver when the liver goes, okay, we're done with this estrogen. let's just get rid of it. And it breaks it down into these metabolites. The two is protective, more protective. The mm-hmm. red is the four, which is the dangerous, and the 16. She's even at risk of osteoporosis at this age of 20 mm-hmm. because of the ratio between her two and her 16 and her four and her 16. Mm-hmm. Right? We really want that 16 to be up in the, what does it say, 16?
Yeah, 13 to 30.
And she's at three.
She's at 8.3.
The reason is this is low. Okay. So iodine deficiency is one thing I'm thinking about. Because that's what helps bring this ratio into balance and helps this conversion from here to here to here, right? So we need more iodine, perhaps. Yeah, and there's a lot of things that affect these, and there's a picture, a diagram in module one, I believe, and also in the reproductive module that shows the breakdown of the different foods and nutrients, et cetera, that contribute. I don't have them all memorized, but... oxidized fats or contribute magnesium deficiency. I'd also suspect because it's involved in some of these conversion pathways. And if she has a SNP in this CYP3A4, I don't know if you've ever done her genes, but
we haven't done that.
3A4, because that's involved with the hydroxylation or the estradiol set. Estriol conversion 3A4, and also breaking down the estrone down into the 16 because the 16 is very low. So I would suspect she probably has a 3A4 SNP. One B1 is a SNP that it also detoxifies this 4-hydroxy, and it's on the higher side percentage wise, but it's really not. Out of range. What is she, 50? Yeah, it is out of range. Never mind. So the 1B1 also detoxifies caffeine. So you want to look at her caffeine. Does she take caffeine in? Most likely at that age.
You know, I don't think too much. She doesn't drink soda. I know that. She's very athletic, so she kind of watches what she eats, but she is. She does do dairy. She doesn't, I take that back. She doesn't do gluten, but the dairy bothers her, so she's trying to get off of the dairy.
Yeah.
I do have some assessments that she did, and it was about 6 months ago. Her iodine was at 39%, so it was in the orange. Her iodine, her magnesium was 29%, and her potassium was 47%. So those three were... sticking out there, and her B1 was at 63, and I did put her on some supplements to help her with that, so I don't know where they are, but obviously we haven't moved anything of significance here.
Yeah, so who knows where it was before, but scroll up just a little bit so I can see the down further. That's 1A1. I'm looking at her methylation. Her methylation looks decent. You see, it looks actually on the high side. There is such a thing as over-methylation. And sometimes people will get depressed and anxious if they over-methylate. And sometimes niacin deficiency is a cause of over-methylation. So, you know, a good B complex is probably in order based on what you just told me. Her COM-T looks like it's intact.
I was surprised with her methoxy and her COM-T. I expected everything to be sideways.
Mm-hmm. Well, if she's green there, or she's even if she's got a no SNP in that COM-T, then it's going to push that methylation more. So, yeah, that's okay. Yeah, so what about the, did they do the organic acid part? They must have, okay. Let me look at this. Yeah, she's just flatlined. It's all the same.
Yeah, she is.
She doesn't have
I don't know how she can get up and go to work, and she's been doing it for a month.
That's why I said she must be on caffeine. Just ask her if she drinks a bunch of coffee or Red Bull.
She doesn't like coffee. No. But she does tea. I don't know how much tea she's doing.
Yeah, I lived on black tea, so.
She does like her chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And her carbs, pasta. She's a pasta girl. Mm-hmm. Although her, when I did a check for her on her insulin, she was pretty good with that. Her glucose wasn't bad at all. She didn't spike much above 118 and stayed around 95, 97. And she has a diabetic grandpa on her other side of the family.
Fasting is decent. It's in the 80s for fasting glucose.
I'm sorry, what?
Her fasting glucose, is it in the 80s or less?
Yes.
Okay. And did you do hemoglobin A1C or insulin on her?
No, those were the things I wanted her to do before she did this, and she left to go. She's in Alaska with her aunt.
Okay. So she's just, it's just depletion. I mean, we could see other patterns in these things if their cortisol-cortisone ratio is off, and you can tell some things about thyroid. But in this particular case, she's just depleted.
Can I start her on a full adrenal program, probably a stage 4?
Yeah, she is a stage 4. Scroll up. Let's see her organic acids. Okay, so she's probably B12 deficient.
Range on the... Oh, no.
Glutathione. Yeah, that above MMA above 4.9 is pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, getting her B12 status working well will help with energy for sure. But also if she has any neurologic impairment, it'll help with red blood cell maturation, which would help with energy, of course. And it could be, you know, with any kind of, you know, stress response type things or depression or anxiety. Her B6 markers are good, but her glutathione marker is off. So she's definitely, she needs some antioxidant support. And no surprise, because if she's had cortisol, if she's down like that and depleted, her cortisol levels must have been through the roof not that long ago to get herself that low. So I would be looking at that. I'd definitely be looking at B5. B5 is important to feed into the, you know, from cholesterol. Does she have any elevations in cholesterol?
I don't know. I could guess that she probably does.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I would look at B5 and vitamin C for sure.
Mm-hmm. Estrogen, vitamin C.
Okay. At least 3,000 a day, if not more.
Yeah. She was at 2,500, so we'll bump it up.
Mm-hmm. Her melatonin is at the high end of range, so that's probably what's knocking her out. That's why she doesn't have trouble falling asleep, because she's got the high melatonin, high end of the range. These dopamine and norepinephrine. This is the norepinephrine, the phenylmandelate, VMA, is high. It's fairly high. You know, it's like 25% above the top end of the range, if you look at the range. And then the homovalinate is the dopamine. Given that it doesn't look like she has a COMT problem, she may have some other SNPs in those areas, but it could just be the stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and certainly talking to her about stress and about meditation and tapping and heart math and all those sorts of things. Things she can do quickly. Like, she's not going to sit down and meditate for half an hour a day. She doesn't have time.
She does meditation in the morning. Well, she did. I don't know if she does now. Probably not. And she does yoga. In fact, she had taught yoga for a while and was too busy, quit. So, and played volleyball intramural in college. She wasn't good enough to get on the team, but close. So very, very active. Kayaks most every day when she has time. I don't know how she has the energy to do what she's doing.
I don't either. She depleted this. Ask her how she feels after heavy-duty exercise. Does she feel exhausted or does she feel energized? Does she feel like she doesn't want to do anything for several days to recover? That's what I would expect with this, but given that she's 20, it's a lot different than one of us, you know, in our 60s.
Yeah. Her day off, they went hiking. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I would say major nutrient repletion is in order here. Does she tend to be thin?
She weighs about 125. She's 5'6".
So she's normal.
She's not bad. She's been a lot lower. She was down to 115 for a while.
Yeah.
But she came back up. So
she's a good weight. But she may not be, she may not be getting all the nutrients. So I would do a diet thing. I would get her to do a Fit Day or a chronometer or something like that. My son's a busy college grad student, et cetera, but he doesn't find it hard. He uses MyFitnessPal. I've never used that one before, but I've watched him figure finish a meal, go in and log it. And, you know, he counts.
Did you say a Fitbit?
No, it just a free app on the phone called MyFitnessPal. Okay. I've tried to use. I haven't really done either of them, so I can't compare them, like which one might be easier or quicker for her to do. But I know that he, as a busy college student, doesn't find it cumbersome at all to use that. And then you'll get a sense of how many calories she's taking in. I mean, a Fitbit's nice because it'll give you kind of that, or the Aura Ring or something where, you know, it gives you the idea of the calories you're burning and all
that.
Yeah,
I think she has a Fitbit, but and she could probably do that.
So that'll get that. But actually have her log her food for a few days and see where she's at. I like the chronometer reports but that's the paid one, the $40 a year one. I like the reports because you can hover over a nutrient. You could say, oh, look, I'm only getting 50% of my molybdenum. And you can hover over it and it'll show you all the foods you did eat and how much molybdenum. And you can actually look at it and go, oh, wow, I need this much more. And, oh, if I just ate two more cups of bok choy, which came up with somebody the other day, I'll just eat two more cups of bok choy and you're going to cover your whatevers. So it really help her. It gives actionable information. And I don't know if it does that on the app because I've just had people give me their reports and we've done them on calls and I go through and I'm like, I love that report because I can easily say, eat two more cups of bok choy and a half a cup more of broccoli and half another avocado and you're going to be in good shape.
Okay. All right. I was just... I don't think there's anything. Oh, there's just that.
A lovely
picture. That's all the notes that they offer. So, yeah.
If you guys can memorize that picture, the one that was sideways there.
Oh, I keep mine with me all the time. It's on my desk.
It's on my desk, too. It's buried now under like a bunch of other stuff. But, yeah, I love that picture. Yeah, but if you can just keep looking at it every time you get
one. Wait, I want to see it. Which one?
Yeah, scroll
it sideways, and I can't.
Sideways, so you can't really read it that way. You have to.
Oh, okay. Steroid pathways. Okay.
Yeah. And the reason I like their version of it.
It's a great one.
It's got all the SNPs in there as well, and it'll show well to increase this pathway. These nutrients do, and this these herbs and whatnot. And sometimes you can find things like somebody's overdoing on a particular herb, and it's pushing the pathway down the wrong way. For her, she really doesn't have the imbalances per se, except in the pathways. It's just, she's totally depleted, except for that hydroxy, you know, the 4-hydroxy, 2-hydroxy-16, and then the estriol, right? So we look at that. We're looking at iodine, and we're looking at probably magnesium is my guess.
Oh, I don't know what it said.
Zinc we're looking at because of that that 5-alpha reductase and the GLA. So looking at her fat intake, how much fat does she have? Sometimes girls that age are fat phobic because they are exercising and going like crazy to try to keep themselves lean and mean. And the fat may be suffering, right? So make sure she's getting enough omega-3s, but also look at GLA. GLA and zinc tend to push... deficiencies of GLA and zinc tend to push them more towards the 5-alpha reductase instead of the 5-beta. You want them kind of in the middle. And iodine. So those are the main ones I see. Vitamin C, the B vitamins, especially B5, zinc, iodine, and GLA are 5 major ones to look at.
Okay. And then I'll get her started on some protocol with adrenals. And
adrenal support. Mm-hmm.
And hopefully she'll come back and do work in her master's program and be able to have some energy.
Wow. So she graduated college at 20?
Yes. Well, she did that running start. She graduated high school and got her associate's degree at the same time. So she started college away.
She's an overachiever, you girl.
Yeah. But all of them have been. They've all done that. So, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like she just has a lot of willpower because, like, we see her results and she's still, like you said, taking hikes and doing all this stuff. I mean,
I know. I
can't believe how. Yeah.
That could be, you know, when it goes overboard, it could be the curse, you know, having too much willpower.
Yeah, I don't want her to break.
Too much pushing, you know, that got her here in the first place.
That something's going to break. She has to.
Oh, it's really on the verge here. She has no adrenal reserves right now.
No.
Right. So she really has to build those reserves. Licorice might be a good one for her as long as she doesn't have blood pressure problem. But she has probably has low blood pressure, given what we're seeing here. Licorice could be a good one to include in there. You know, ashwagandha.
Mm-hmm. She's taking ashwagandha now. Actually, you know, you said about the depression thing. She was cranky, and my daughter gave her some black cohosh. She carries it with her all the time. So she's probably getting into maybe that little bit of that depression area.
And I would look at, it just came to my mind and then it just left. What did we just say? I said, look at her. Licorice. I would also look at cordyceps because pushing and cordyceps is really a stamina type of a builder, right? It works on stamina. It also works on lungs, which are important kidneys for, you know, elimination. So I would look at cordyceps.
Okay.
You know, and you've got the adrenal, like all the different herbs are listed with the little blurbs and you can read it as far as you know her. But then if there's like questions, you can always say, do you tend to be, you know,
right.
And then that will help you to identify. And they're just little bitty descriptions. I mean, you could read books and books and books about each one, but it just gives you like a sense of the high points of like when not to use a certain one. But cordyceps comes to mind in a case like this as well, and licorice root.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I might just have to take a care package and fly up there.
Yeah.
I'm going to see Mary Lynn next week and down in California and visit for a while, help her get her house ready to sell. So I'm going south.
Nice.
Then maybe I'll go north.
Then maybe. Good for you.
Janet,
Mary Lynn for us.
Is your granddaughter? Is that right?
Yeah.
Tell her to take a sleep vacation.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, right.
For the love of all that's holy, sleep for a weekend.
Yeah, no. She's got a job and a goal, and now that
it's really hard to get. That's a hard one to get people to do.
They work 7 days a week.
7 days.
Yeah. No, they with their tips, they make about $25 an hour where they work at these lodges.
Mm-hmm.
And they pack fish. They load the float planes. Everything. It's a hard job. They work hard, but they have a great time. There's a lot of really cute boys on the docks too.
And not a lot of women in Alaska. So
thank you so much. I didn't mean to take so long with this.
It's a good case.
We just wanted to.
The more of the Dutches we go over, and they're all, the cool part about them is they're all so different, and every single one we learn some new stuff, right?
Right.
Yeah. And the more you do them and the more you understand the chemistry behind it and the pathways, the easier it is for like some of these, I've never seen cases like this, but you just start to think in terms of what do I know about this particular pathway? What do I know about this particular enzyme? What do I know about this particular? And then you put it together.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
but definitely stage 4 is correct.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I saw that and my heart sank. Maybe.
Yeah.
Dear.
Yeah, but you really want to work on that iodine area, because if you do anything to bring these levels up, right? I mean, she could be a good candidate for pregnenolone or DHEA or any of that. I think I would try to work on it without that right from the start. Just because right now she has that tendency to have the wrong kind of estrogen. And the last thing I want her to do is have more estrogen and put her in an unsafe position. So
exactly what I thought. No pregnenolone DHEA to start with. Going the wrong way.
Yeah. It's going to push it. And she got to get those pathways. So I would look at the iodine for sure, and the other nutrients. Okay.
Yeah. The other herbs and things. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Lynn, for guiding me across my screen.
That was easy once you got it. Who else is on? Valerie's on. Hi, Valerie. Looks like Brandon just left. He said a wonderful discussion. Yay.
Since we're talking about relatives, my 25-year-old son, at least 24 then, he'd had a seizure. He's never had a seizure before. And he was throwing up, and he'd pass out and throw up and pass out. And my two sons live together. They're in Utah. And so my older son took him to the ER, and they just said, well, you're dehydrated also. But although earlier in the day, he had given plasma.
Oh.
And, so I'm sure that was part of it. But anyway, so I kept begging, because they did a blood lab, and they said, get it, mail it to me. Well, I just got it last week. And actually, I was very pleased, because I looked through it and made some notes. And then that was Saturday. And then we have a friend of ours that we go to church with, who's a medical doctor. And so I made all my notes. Well, you know, I'll just double check it with him. And he actually agreed with me in some of it. I had just gotten an account with Ulta Labs, and they're having a 50% off. Ulta, U-L-T-A.
Oh, Ulta. Okay.
And they're having a 50% off sale. So I ordered him a whole new panel, and like their panel was incomplete. And so I ordered, because my first thought was he had a bacterial infection, and because, you know, his neutrophils are 84.4.
Oh.
And his absolute was even out of range at 12.3. And his white blood count was 14.6. His lymphs were not.
His white blood cell count was 14.6?
Right.
That's an acute infection.
They didn't find that at the hospital. I'm shocked they didn't give him antibiotics. No, he said no. They just told him to go home and make sure he stayed hydrated. And which, you know, he's like, Mom, that's like always the first thing you always tell us. I mean, like, I pound in staying hydrated with them, and pretty good at staying hydrated. He also has some liver issues, though, which I'm sure is genetic, and because I have a tendency towards fatty liver. His alkaline phosphatase is 47.
Yeah, so zinc is an issue.
Yeah, stomach acid, I'm sure too, because his protein is 6.6. His bun is 8. His ALT, he just mailed it to me. They didn't have anything electric. So, his ALT.
Put it in a tracker, or put it in the blood chem software.
Yeah. Yeah. I just haven't had a chance to. His ALT is 54, his AST is 37. His bilirubin was 2.8. His RDW is 16.7.
Anemia, yeah, on top of all that. So liver, anemia, a raging infection.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I don't know. This is October, obviously. So before I had him do anything else, and it was, like I said, it was half off. I did a really complete panel with everything to find out, to compare. Well, yeah, because his glucose was outrageous, but I figure if he's in stress, the cortisol is going to shoot it up. So I didn't want to say that's what it was, but his red blood count was 6.79. His hemoglobin was...
That's 18. Dehydration right there.
Right. I knew he was dehydrated, but... That wasn't, to me, the most critical piece.
No, there's all that other stuff going on. It's not just dehydration.
Yeah. Yeah. His hemoglobin was 18.6 and his hematocrit was 56.9. Yeah.
Whenever you see really high levels of red blood cells, you want to rule out hemochromatosis. Right. And then the albumin and globulin, one of those is a real good dehydration indicator, which.
Yeah, but they didn't have that.
They didn't test it, right? There's a whole slew of dehydration indicators. I'm going to be updating the thing, or at least doing it in the advance, because I have some new markers and stuff. But
so I sat down and wrote all these notes on his paper, and then I knew I wanted to bring it to this guy and say, listen, and then because they have their range on there, their lab ranges, and I wrote down the optimal ranges. And sat down with him. I said, okay, this is what I'm thinking. This is kind of the plan I'm putting together for him. And what do you think? And he, you know, yeah, with hydration going on, but that wasn't the main thing. And so he agreed with me that, you know, to run another plan, panel and a complete one.
Yeah.
And because this panel is normally like, $400, and I got it for like $250. Anyway, it was a really big complete panel,
has he gotten his blood drawn yet, or?
I don't know. I just did it over the weekend, okay. And he works two jobs and he rides his bike everywhere, so. He has to, it's only like 3 miles away, the lab. So he should be able to ride his bike there. And
he should, you know, as long as he's not like over exercising, because the thing about if you do it and you do a CPK, you can look like you're having a heart attack. Cause it's muscle breakdown, and you know, that's the most likely thing.
Yeah.
But I think just riding his bike 3 miles, he's not like he's, you know,
no. And that's really his main exercise. He works for UPS. So, I mean, he does, you know, loading and unloading trucks. So he does get some movement there. But that's his day job. His night job is at a place called Arctic Circle. It's hamburger. Janet must have heard of it. I'd never heard of it before. It's a burger joint and lots of shakes. But the thing is he's like, yeah, I don't even like eating that stuff anymore.
Good.
He just turned 25 the end of June. So for his birthday, I sent him. I had ordered from one of the local organic places this huge box of food. So
good.
So they do that, but
good that he's open to it. Like, we've raised them well. He's the same age as my son. He's just 2 months younger than Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I just. This up one because what we're learning here, we can sit down with medical doctors and have discussions. Oh, and he did have a urinalysis, and there was mucus in his urine, but and his urine did show it showed both some the dehydration as well. Actually, yeah,
so the specific gravity was super high,
right? But it also showed a little bit of that liver stress coming through. But again, because of the mucus.
Or what? Urobilinogen was elevated?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
And, but again, because of the mucus, it was showing that, again, his stomach acid is, he's not, you know, not making enough stomach acid.
Well, this is 6, 8, 9 months ago, right? October?
6 months ago. Yep, 6 months ago.
6 months. Yeah. Okay. I thought that would make April, so October is more like...
Really? Six
months ago from October would be April.
Okay.
Nine months ago, right? A lot can change in 9 months.
Right. That's why I wanted to do another blood plant panel again. And if the bacteria is still that high, I wanted to do a stool test. Right.
Well, did there show any bacteria on the urine test? I mean, it shouldn't.
I'm not as well versed on that one.
It was an acute. His white blood cells being that high sounds like an acute issue. So he may have had an infection of some sort, and the dehydration, and it triggered him. You know.
Yeah, especially if he's giving plasma.
And he had just donated plasma. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to do another one before I did anything else to see.
Yeah.
You know, But he and I asked him about how does he feel, and he's always been really gassy. So it could be that it's just
a bug.
Some type of bug
is a possibility.
That's yeah, exactly.
Like that. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
And well, good work.
he's got, well, and I, a couple of years ago, because I'm like Janet, a couple of years ago for Christmas, everybody got their 23.
I think my family would disown me if I gave them lab tests for Christmas or birthday. Well,
so the one Christmas we did, everybody got a 23andMe. And then we did it at Thanksgiving, and then at Christmas we met, and I ran through everybody.
You ran through. That's how are we going to spend our Christmas vacation? Mama's going to show you what's in your genes.
Well, what they liked the most is the whole, we actually did ancestry, and so they liked the whole genetic thing, or the ethnic thing. But then the following year, everybody got just a...
They got
and
what?
The thing is,
what did they get?
A CWP from Direct Labs. And so, but then we had to drive up. It's like a 3-hour drive to the lab. So then we all drove up. And
so you had a family time together going to the lab to get blood drawn. How do health coaches and nutrition professionals gift their family and spend their vacations?
It's the gift of love, man. You know, I want them to be healthy.
It is. It's cool.
Yeah. But they did really like on the ancestry thing, finding out. It was very interesting. So like my husband, he's like 100%, he's like 95% Scandinavian. And then he's got like 3% Polynesian. I asked his mom about that, and she's like, well, there were these stories about people coming over on the boat.
3%. So that, how many generations would that be back though? Right?
To be, I don't know, but it pretty,
it's probably like 3-4 generations back at least to have that little to just pass.
Well,
it
down. But you know, and some of the kids had Ashkenazi Jew, and so it was like we didn't all have, so you can't say this is my genetics, my ethnic background, because even with the same parents, you're going to get different because you have all these people to draw right. from. So the same family can have different, that's why that's we look ethnicity. The way we do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's interesting.
So anyway, that was the part they liked.
Cool.
They care less about their genes.
About
except
the
when
genes.
I told a couple
then,
of
did
them.
You run it through a SNP?
Yeah, I did it metabolic. They did, a couple of them didn't like it when I said you really shouldn't be drinking coffee.
Yeah. So, well, you got to tell it like it is.
I did. I said I'm not telling you anything. This is.
And make sure you tell that to your granddaughter because she probably has a 1B1 and 1A1 SNP.
Oh, probably. We give them other things besides lab tests and touch tests. We treat them well.
Good.
And Dr. Rademacher, I want to thank you. You opened module 35, and I'm into that one now. So hopefully.
You're caught up to me. I got to get module 36 done.
Well, I still have client work that I haven't finished on a lot of the other ones. I'll go back through everything from the beginning, but I just haven't run across a client to complete that. So hopefully through this next DRC coaching and other things, I'll be able to.
Yeah, but what about some of the ones you have now that you can just.
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of them, and some of the family work that I've done, and this family person that I'm going to do will fill into some of them. So yeah
okay,
so
good.
We're getting there, so yes, thank you.
Yay, love it.
Yeah no worry about getting the next one open.
I've been trying for a long time. I have it all outlined. I have all these ideas in there, and I have this like mess of slides, and I'm gonna put this in, and I just, it takes several hours to create and make it, like, I mean, this module is probably going to take 6 or 8 hours to actually take the research piece that I've done and turn it into something that looks good.
But yeah. As you tell us, done is better than perfect.
Yeah, but there's no way I could present it the way it is because it's just all like, you know.
It's just words, I know.
It's just words.
It's just the words on the slide.
But I'll get it done. I've got
We want you to take care of you because we like you around.
Yeah, I like to be around
too. We don't want you burning out.
No, I'm not going to let myself. I'm not going to let myself. I've got to get some sleep. Tonight I got to sleep because the last couple of nights have been tough. But I did get 10 hours of sleep. Was it 4th of July? Yeah, the night before 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I just said, okay, I don't have to get up tomorrow. I don't have any calls. I don't have anything. I'm just, and I didn't get out of bed till 11. I went to bed. I went to bed at like 11 and I stayed in bed till 10:30 or something, you know? So it's like, it was over 10 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And it felt good, but then I went into back into, you know, deadlines and craziness. But it will be through it soon, and I won't have as many deadlines and craziness. I mean, I'll definitely have them, but not like this week. It's been one webinar a week for the last 3 weeks, and each one a different topic. 4 weeks, because we did the 2, 3, 4, then an all-day session. That was like a 5-hour webinar. Mm. It's been a lot of creation.
Whew. Yeah.
It's fun though. It's my favorite part is creating presentations and then giving them. Just all
You're
the
good at it.
Behind the scenes that I'm trying to get offloaded.
Yeah.
All right. Who else? I think that's it, eh? Valerie. Say hi, Valerie.
Hi, Valerie.
Hello.
Valerie.
Hi, Valerie.
Hi.
I'm going to go to bed on that note. I've been driving a lot. Yeah. So I'm going to take some rest.
All right. I think we all should. It's been an hour and a half. We've covered a lot of stuff. I like when they're small calls and casual and go from there. All right, guys.
Great.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, everyone.